Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
All right, well, welcome. We are in this series, as Kevin said, called The Fruit of the Spirit, The Sweet Life. Because when we walk with the fruit of the Spirit, when you're around people who just are filled with the fruit of the Spirit, whose lives are producing that kind of fruit. See, fruit is made for not the tree, but it's really for people who are outside to see the fruit, partake of it, be refreshed, taste the sweetness of that fruit, so that then that seed that's in the fruit can be spread and reproduce new life. And so when we are, as Christians, when we have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, all of a sudden, our lives become sweet and refreshing and attractive to the people around us. So we're talking about, what does it mean to have the fruit of the Spirit? What do they look like? How do we nurture and develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? And I don't know if any of you have a fruit tree, but fruit trees, they take a while before they actually start to produce fruit. Sometimes years. You take a little seed and you put that thing in the ground, whether it's like a mango seed or something. It just takes seemingly forever until you get mango from that mango seed or from that lychee seed. And so it's the same in our lives. It takes a while for fruit to be produced. And so as we're going through the fruit of the Spirit here, we're talking about, what does that look like to nurture the fruit of the Spirit, to grow that in our lives? But also, what do we do in the in-between time until we have that fruit in our lives? And so we've talked about how we're to have love and joy and peace and patience in our lives. So this week now is going to be on kindness. And so how many of you are kind people? How many of you are not kind people? Mean people. We have any mean people? Or maybe you know mean people here. And so if you know mean people, you know anyone mean in your life, then this message is for them. I'm sure it's not for you, because I'm sure we're all kind people. So today, I brought a photo from our bedroom. So now you get a little sneak peek. This is our bed, right? It's a little bit of Hawaii. My wife loves plants, and so she tried to get a bedspread that kind of reminded her of Hawaii and plants. But we bought these pillows. We saw them in a store, and we bought them. Be brave, be kind, and sort of to remind ourselves of what we need to be. I'm not going to tell you which of us needs to be brave or which of us needs to be kind. But yeah, I'm not going to get myself in trouble. Praise God. My wife doesn't need either of those. She's already kind and brave. Amen. Is that the right thing to say?
Yes.
I did good. All right. So, but you know, in all of our lives, we need encouragement to be better. And so today, I hope this message encourages you to be more kind, or to help other people be kind. Our series scriptures taken from Galatians, the sweet life is taken from Galatians chapter 5. It says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We're passing the halfway mark here. And so we're getting through the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes as a church, we preach through this we'll take a section of scripture and we'll just unpack it. What we're doing here is we're taking, it's like each of these fruit, we're unpacking each fruit and explaining it from the scripture. So today there's going to be a lot of scripture. If you like to follow along in your Bible, it's easy to download free Bible apps on your phone, and you're welcome to follow along in your Bible on your phone. Just don't check the scores or the weather. No, it's fine. All right, so today we're doing kindness. And kindness, another way of describing what kindness is kindness is love in action. So that's our title today, kindness. It's love in action. And a quick overview so that you know kind of where we're going today. We're going to look at, what is kindness? Why does kindness matter? And then how do I become more kind? Okay, how do I become more kind? Because in the end, that's our goal, is that we become kinder people. If the world around us is going to become kinder, it starts with us. It starts with us becoming kinder people. Scripture for today is Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And scripture says, he has told you, oh man, and this goes for women as well, men and women, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice? So God wants us to be just people, to do things in just ways. And then it says to love kindness. So we do justice. We always want to do the right thing, make things fair. But what we want to love is kindness. Because as we love kindness, as that's the pursuit of our heart, as that's the thing that we want, loving kindness, then that's what begins to be produced in our lives. So we do justice, but we love kindness. And the last bit is to walk humbly with your God. All right, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, today as we come to you, we invite your Holy Spirit to speak to each and every one of us. That Father God, you would teach us about kindness today. Give us wisdom and instruction on how to live kinder lives. How to both love kindness and how to nurture kindness in our lives as a character trait. So Father, today, for each one of us, our deep desire is that we wouldn't just leave today inspired or entertained, but truly we would leave today being transformed, to love kindness a little more, to have a little more kindness nurtured and developed in our lives, that we might be a reflection of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so what is kindness? Kindness is love in action. The scripture says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. So love is patient. Why is love patient? Because people around us tend to tick us off. If we're normal human beings, in our interactions, we have conflict. We have disagreements. This is what we walk through in life. So love is patient, but love is also, while we're being patient, love is not just patient and grumpy. How many of you know patient, grumpy people? I'm being patient. I'm waiting for you. You know, but we endure every moment and hate every moment of their being patient. But no, the Bible says love is patient and is kind. It does not envy or boast. So what does that mean? Doesn't envy or boast? What that means is envy is we look at others and we want what they have. Boast means we look at ourselves and we think we're all that. And it's all this self-centered life. Everything that we think is good in our lives, we want to show it off to everybody else. Everything that we think we have better than someone else, we show off. Anything that we think someone else is better than us, then we want to get that for ourselves. We can't celebrate someone else's benefits and blessings and goodness. We only want it for ourselves. We want all the attention to be on us. And kindness and patience is the exact opposite. Love is the opposite. Love is looking at the other, because kindness always has to do with the other person and how I make them feel and how I meet their needs and how my life is a blessing to them. That's why love is, that kindness is love in action. And for some people, they think, well, like kindness is just, you know, mamby-pamby, weak, you know, just letting everybody else have their way. That's what it means to be kindness. And kindness is nothing of the sort. There's a big difference between being kind and being nice. Being nice is about you. I'm just going to be a nice person. I'm going to smile all the time. I'm going to let people have their way. I'm going to let other people go first and stuff. Kindness includes being nice. But it's a niceness with strength, and it's a niceness that's focused on other people's needs and other people's emotions and feelings. And actually, to be truly kind takes a lot of strength in our lives. Not only does it require us to be others-focused and patient, but also as we read this next scripture, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. So what does that mean? When we see someone and their life falls short of what we think they should be, their character falls short of what we think it should be, we don't look at them and say, what's wrong with you? We look at them and say, what happened to you? Where are you coming from? What's gone on in your life? What's brought you to this place so that that can help you take the next step in your life? So my focus is not just on who I think they should be, but my focus is on who they are and how I can help them take the next step towards who they should be. That's kindness. It takes a lot more strength and effort than being nice or being mean. Kindness takes focus. It takes heart. It takes emotion. It takes love. Gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. It's not scold that person, judge them, condemn them for not being at the right place. But it's gently and humbly helping them back on the right path. This is who God is. Jesus didn't just stay in heaven and say, you guys all failed. He came to earth and he saw our need and he met us at that place. And as a church, that's the heart we want to have. That's what we want to reflect to the world. We want to be those who humbly and gently meet people where they are and get them on the path to where they could be, to what God intends. So that's what kindness is. Why does kindness matter? Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? You see, God is kind, tolerant, patient with us. This is a scripture that Kevin shared earlier. It's God's kindness. It's his tolerance, his patience. Not the kind of tolerance that the world talks about. Nowadays, when people say tolerant, they mean you got to celebrate what I believe. And if you don't celebrate who I am and what I am, then I'm going to cancel you. That's tolerance nowadays. That's not tolerance the way that God's tolerant. God is tolerant, say, even though we disagree, I'll walk with you. I'll embrace you. I'll love you. And I'll help you to come around into what's best for you. This is God's kindness. This is who God is. And so why is kindness important? Because it's who God is. It's how he approaches us. But also, it's God's kindness that helps turn us from the areas where we are a mess. This is what sin is. Sin is the areas of your life that are messed up. It's the things that are going to destroy you, destroy your relationships, destroy your family, destroy your future. That's what sin is. And God's kindness, he uses his kindness to turn us from sin towards him, to turn back on track for the life we were created for. Second verse, it talks to us about kindness, why it's important. Colossians 3:12 says, put on then, God, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Kindness is one of those things that we're to put on in our lives. It's a fruit of the Spirit. That when we're full of God, and God is fully formed in us, and we mature in God's image, and we're mature as believers in Christ, it just is who we naturally become. Kindness is what generally just flows out of us. But until that happens, because we belong to God, the Bible says we should just put on kindness for others. So we put on this kindness. In other words, you act kind until you become kind. So in all of the fruit of the Spirit, there's what we say, there's the doing part and the being part. The goal is to be the fruit of the Spirit, just to have the fruit, to be a mango tree, to be a kindness tree, to be a peace tree, to be a love tree, that just anytime someone picks something off of us, what comes out is love, joy, peace, kindness. And anytime we get into a horrible situation and pressure comes out, what pops out of the breakage in our lives is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. That's what just comes out of us. But until we become meantime, we do kindness. We put on kindness. We act kind towards people. And so God is kind. His kindness transforms us. And we're to put on kindness because that's what shows people. And that's our responsibility as followers of God, is to put on. You've been chosen by God. You're here not because you just decided to show up. From God's perspective, He's been drawing you. And He's chosen you to be here today. God chose you to be here today to hear a message on kindness. What does that say? Maybe we're not as kind as we think we are. Maybe we all can grow a little bit more in kindness. But we're put on kindness. Why? Because God's chosen us to be representatives of Him. Next scripture, Proverbs 21, verse 21 says, "Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor." So if you want to live a full life, if you want to really experience life as God intended it to be, if you want to be a person who lives in righteousness, who does the right thing, if you want to be a person who lives a life worthy of honor and respect, I think everybody loves to be respected and honored. People hate to be disrespected. The Bible says this is what you do. Pursue righteousness and kindness. And that's an interesting thing because normally, you know, when we think of ourselves, we just think, if I want to be honored, I need to be around people who are kind. But the Bible says, no, you pursue kindness. What's the role of kindness and what impact does it have in our lives? A couple of years ago, before COVID, maybe this is like 3 years ago, we had when my wife and I were in New York, this woman came to speak and she was doing this seminar. And she's famous for her talks on men and women. It's kind of, she's sold millions of books. And so she's coming and she's going to do this seminar. We're a little confused, like, okay, is this seminar about marriage? Is it about dating? Is it about just being a good person? And we didn't know quite how to, you know, to categorize her because she does all of that. And I'm thinking, well, so this woman, Shanti Feldhin, we were reading her bio and she's a Harvard grad. She got her graduate degree from Harvard, so she's smart. And then she went to worked in government for a while as a consultant. And then she worked on Wall Street as a Wall Street analyst. And I'm thinking, what does a Wall Street analyst, Harvard person, have to tell us about relationships? We learn relationships from the Bible. We know relationships, you know. Harvard's not great on marriage and relationships. What does Wall Street know? You know, so many Wall Street guys, their marriages are a wreck. What do they teach us? But then she did this all-day seminar, and it was powerful. And it turns out, as she just began to apply her analytical skills to the area of relationship, she began to discover all these things about men, women, and relationships. In fact, she was actually writing a novel. The story of how this happened. She was writing a novel, and one of her characters was a man. She said, "How do I communicate what my character was thinking?" So she said, "I don't know what men think." So she started asking men, like, "In this situation, what would you be thinking?" And she realized women and men think very differently. And so her first book was For Women Only. And so it's what women wish they knew about men. And so she wrote this book and it sold, I think, like 3 million copies. It's now in like 25 languages. It just really helped a lot of people that she wrote one for men only. And then she started doing these studies, nationwide studies. And so she actually did a 2.5 year long study on kindness. Took 1,000 people and surveyed them on the area of kindness. And out of that came this book called The Kindness Challenge. What's the impact of kindness in our lives and what role does it play? Why is it important? And they discovered that kindness makes people better leaders. It makes people better parents. It makes people have better marriages. But they said kindness in people's lives affects all these areas of life. And she said one of the most interesting things that she found, and here's a quote from her, Shanti Feldhin, says, "Whether you thrive in life and relationships is far more related to how you treat other people than how you yourself are treated." And so often, We blame how we feel in life on our circumstances and other people. But her research showed that how you approach life is how you feel about your life. Whether you feel like my life is great depends on how you treat other people. And if you treat other people with kindness, you start feeling better about life. You know, that aligns with what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 17 says, "A man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself." A man who is kind benefits himself. So if you start treating other people with kindness, we always think that blesses other people. But the truth is, when you start treating other people with kindness, you're the one who's transformed. You're the one who's changed. So number three, how do I become more kind? Because I want a better life. I want to be a better leader. I want to have a better marriage. We want to be better parents and just better people. So how do we become more kind? Here's what the Bible says. "A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people." So the Bible commands that we be kind. The Bible says that we be kind with everyone, that we not quarrel, not be fighting all the time, but we're able to not only be kind, but able to teach other people kindness and to be patient, especially with difficult people. Now, I can be kind with nice people. How many of you can be kind with people who are kind towards you? That's a no-brainer, right? But the key to the biblical kindness is that we are kind to the people that we don't like, the people that are difficult to be kind with. So let's look at this. What they developed, Shanti Feldman and her group, after studying those 1,000 people, they discovered certain keys that help people become more kind in their relationships. And what they discovered is this model or this practice that if you'll do it for 30 days, it'll transform your relationships. It'll make you more kind and make people like you more. So here it is. This is her book. We read her book, and it's called The Kindness Challenge. And it's 30 days to changing your relationships, which will then change your life and can change your world. And so she had this thing called The Kindness Challenge. And this is what we're going to try to do. This is what I want to encourage you to do in the next 30 days, to apply these principles from The Kindness Challenge. In fact, she has a website, jointhekindnesschallenge.com, that you can go to. And so they applied these principles. The first group that they did it with, they took 700 people and took them through the kindness challenge and had them do this for 30 days, okay? And here's what happened. People said, 89% of them said that the relationships that they applied this to were transformed, were improved, 89%. So if you apply these, you have a 9 out of 10 chance to improve your relationships. In the kindness challenge, you choose one relationship that you want to improve. And it can be a marriage relationship or someone you're dating or want to date. Kindness is a good way to start off. In fact, here's what they found out, that in 74% of romantic relationships, after doing the kindness challenge, they felt more love from their partner. And 64% felt more loved by their partner. So 74% felt like they loved their partner more, and 64% felt like their partner loved them more, simply by doing this kindness challenge for 30 days. So here's the kindness challenge. Number one, say nothing negative for 30 days. Some of us think, oh, that's not hard. I don't ever say something negative. Others are thinking, that's, yeah, 30 minutes, there's no, you know, I'm not going to make it without saying nothing negative. But for 30 days, you say, the person that I'm choosing, whether it's your spouse or a coworker or a family member or a neighbor, say, I'm not going to say anything negative to them for 30 days, and I'm not going to say anything negative about them for 30 days. Okay, so you got someone in mind? Here's what the Bible says about that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. So what you got to have to do here is you're going to have to forgive them before you complain about them. You're going to have to forgive them before you grumble to them. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with blessing. This is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessing. So there is a blessing in that. As you stop being negative, saying negative things, and communicating negative things, it's not only with our words. You can do that little eye roll, you know, that we do. The little, There's different ways of communicating negativity. Sometimes it's not just with our words. Sometimes it's with our looks. It's our attitude. It's our huff and walk away that we communicate negative things. Sometimes negativity, we hide it under sarcasm. Sometimes it comes in criticism. There's all different ways that negativity comes. And so it's just saying, okay, every kind of negative communication, whether body language, facial expressions, words, and even not just to that person, but I'm not going to complain about that person to somebody else. I'm just going to stop. It doesn't mean you won't have conflict. It doesn't mean that you won't have to sometimes bring correction or discipline. But it does mean that when you do, you have to do it, like the Bible says, in a humble, gentle way to lead that person back to what's right. It means you have to confront with kindness. 30 days, 30 minutes. Start with that. You know, somebody say, man, but you know, I have all this anger that inside of me, and I just have to, you know, it's going to be unhealthy for me if I don't. I'm just letting it out. You know, I'm just blowing off steam. And so I got to go tell someone about how badly that person ticked me off, otherwise I'm going to rage all day. You know, the truth is that venting and letting off steam actually stirs up anger inside of you. It actually drives that offense deeper inside of you. And so you might cover it over, but it's only just going to increase inside of you. There's a study done by a guy, Dr. Bushman, Ohio State University, and he's an expert on anger. He was a member actually of President Obama's Committee on Gun Violence, and so he's an expert in the area of human aggression and violence. This is what he studies. This is his area of expertise. And here's what he said. He said, actually, as they've done studies and brain studies, when you are venting and just sort of blowing off steam about the anger, that the way someone made you anger, it actually activates the anger centers in your brain and drives those feelings deeper into your brain. And so letting off steam, it's counterintuitive. We think, oh, let off steam, then it makes my anger go down. Actually, it just stirs up. And you wonder why you got to keep letting off steam. It's because you're not dealing with the anger. You're just covering it over. And you're storing it for the next time. And what the Bible wants to do is deal with the root of the anger and build fruit inside of you of kindness. So the second thing. So say nothing negative for 30 days, okay? Say nothing negative to the person or about the person. Number two, say something positive every day for 30 days. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 tells us this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So what does that mean? It means as you think about that person every day, you're looking, what's commendable in that person? What's excellent? What's lovely? What's pure? And I'm focusing on what the positive in that person's life so that I'll have something positive to say. And guess what? If you spend all your time meditating on the good things in that person, you're going to find more good in that person. You're going to find that your heart begins to soften towards that person. You might even start to like them. That's why we spend 30 days just looking. It's what the Bible tells us to do anyway. So 30 days of obedience to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Peter 3, verse 9 says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessing. So that person that is just frustrating you, pay them back with a blessing. When you feel like they've done you wrong, insulted you, disrespected you, you pay them back with a blessing. This is the kindness challenge. The third thing, do something kind. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. If we do not give up, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So we stop negative speaking. And there's subtle ways sometimes. Sometimes we don't directly criticize them. We just say that what they just did is going to end the world. Just like, oh, things are going to go really bad. And we don't really say you're bad. We just say now things are going to get really bad. This is going to be, the sky is falling. And we say things that we want to make the person feel bad. We're not directly criticizing them, but these are ways, subtle ways that we speak negativity, sarcasm. We think it's just a little fun, but really where it's just veiled criticism. And saying positive things to that person, but also about that person. So it's in the same way that every day you're saying, okay, I'm not going to say anything negative to that person or about that person. Each day we're saying, okay, today I'm going to say something positive to that person, and I'm going to say something positive about that person. And then the third thing is that we're going to do something good for them. We're going to find a way. It might just be simply giving them a greeting, smiling at them. It can be simple. It doesn't have to be a big deal. It can be a big deal. But just think of, what's one thing that I can do today to show that person kindness? What's a simple way? Buy them bubble tea. Matthew chapter 25. The Bible says, actually, these simple acts of kindness have eternal repercussions. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. Simply letting someone feel accepted. Bring them into a social circle. Bubble tea. A musubi. Bubble tea or musubi. Whatever it is, you know, simple ways to bless people. Jesus said that actually is a difference between those who are going to spend eternity with me and those that aren't. And all around you, there are people with needs. Small needs, needs for acceptance, needs for feeling a little more love, feeling someone who just needs a smile, needs a little word of encouragement, this little affirmation, you look great today, I love that outfit, or cut your hair, looks nice. Even just an inquiry to how are you doing. Some people never have anybody pay them any attention, and they think nobody really cares, and just taking a moment to say, hey, how's it going? Can make a person's day. Simple acts of kindness in Jesus' eyes make an eternal difference. So where Jesus says, and that you've done it to the least person, you've done it to me. Where is Jesus hidden in your everyday life? In your school? In your office? In your building? Who's that person who just needs some kindness? Here's some things that we have to address in our own lives to help us. It's tough to be kind. If we're always hiding because we don't like ourselves, or we're frustrated or insecure. Because when we spend all our time hiding ourselves, we have a hard time seeing someone else. So some of that is just dealing with our own sense of insecurity, frustration, pain in our lives. to help us be kind to others. Sometimes we're just too much in a hurry. We're just too busy to be kind. When I'm in a hurry, you ever been on one of those phone calls? You know, I get on all the time here in Taiwan because I don't speak Chinese, so I'm trying to explain to them that, you know, my Wi-Fi doesn't work. What's this bill I have to pay? I got this notice in the mail and I don't understand. And you're trying to talk to them, you're trying to get stuff done. And after talking to 10 people who keep passing on to somebody else, you're just frustrated. And if I have a lot of time and I'm thinking very spiritual, I can be very nice. But if I don't have much time or I'm feeling a little frustrated, if I'm in a hurry, right? My wife and I like to go last minute to the airport. She likes to go way in advance. And I found that when we go way in advance, then, you know, I can be nice to people. I can be nice to the guy with the car and handling my luggage and stuff. But when we're trying to get on that plane and it's about to close, then there's no time for being kind. It's like, I gotta go. I don't need to cut to the front of the line, you know? But cutting to the front of the line, you're gonna find that when you're nice and kind, people are much more apt to let you. But if we're too much of a hurry in our lives, we're hiding stuff in our lives, we find it difficult. In fact, sometimes when we're so busy, we don't even recognize the people around us who have a need. Someone could be bleeding out on the side of the road, and we're just too much in a hurry. Jesus talked about that in his story of the Good Samaritan. But the slower you go, the more you'll see the needs, and the easier it is to be kind. Here's the bottom line on kindness. Kindness, it blesses us, it changes who we are. It makes us happier, kinder people. It affects our relationships around us. Our relationships improve when we're kinder. But the most important thing is that when we're kind, we reflect the love of our Heavenly Father. And we open up people's hearts to the love of Jesus. And that's worth taking, changing someone's eternal destiny because we introduce them to the love of Jesus is worth taking a little extra time. So this week, even if you don't take time to do the kindness challenge, take time to be kind to somebody. Take a moment. It might be Jesus that you give a cup of water to. Last scripture, Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 35. This is what Jesus says. I say to you, all of you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, turn the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish others would do to you, so do to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. We're kind because God is kind to us. We're kind because God to the ungrateful and the evil because God is kind to the ungrateful and evil. And as we become more and more a reflection of our Heavenly Father, other people will be attracted to Christ and to find Him. And in the end, that's what makes the eternal difference in our lives and in the lives of those around Him. So I want to encourage you, number one, this week, the next 30 days, I encourage you, take that kindness challenge. Choose a relationship in your life to say, this is the relationship I want to improve. And then each day, just wake up and say, okay, let's go cut out the negativity. Let's put in some positivity. Let's do an act of kindness. But most of all today, if you've never received the greatest act of kindness Jesus laying down his life for us, then today's the day to receive the kindness of God, because that's what begins to transform us from the inside out, so that we become not just people who do kind things, but truly kind people. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the kindness and the love of Jesus, who while we were still sinners, while we were ungrateful, evil, you performed that greatest act of kindness, laying down your life for us, that we could become transformed people, truly kind people. And so Jesus, forgive us of the times that we've been unkind, ungrateful, and evil. Come into our lives and transform us from the inside out to be grateful people, to be kind people. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would go with each one and throughout these next days, Lord, that we would take steps to cut the negativity out of our relationships, to bring in positivity, saying nice things to people and about them. And Lord, performing acts of kindness, giving cups of water to those who are thirsty, a bite of food to those who are hungry, and welcoming in the strangers, those who feel rejected, isolated, alone, to bring them into our circles. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.